Hello, and welcome to Nitwit, Rantings of a Rabid Knitter, a storytelling podcast with occasional knit bits. My name is Carrie, a.k.a. Autumn Breeze, and this is episode 57, The Results Are In. I will not hold you in suspense. It's good news. The masses are benign. And yes, you heard me right. I said masses, plural, two in fact. When I went in for the procedure, I told the technician that I had hoped that the mass had disappeared, because I know that happens occasionally. She was doing the ultrasound for a long time, and she had a puzzled look on her face, and I was hoping that it had in fact disappeared, but she looked at me and said, "I'm sorry, dear, it's still there. In fact, there's two of them." The doctor came in, and she studied the ultrasound too, and they looked at the orders, and the order said that the mass was at 12:30. Both of these masses could have been described as 12:30. One said, well, it might have been 12:15, but, you know, it's right around there. We talked about it and decided that it would be best to go ahead and just do both of them. I was there, and there was no reason not to, as far as I could see. The doctor was very nice. When she first came in, she sat down and talked to me. She explained to me everything that was going to be done and was very professional, needed to take my blood pressure, my medical history, listen to my heart, and then she stopped. She sat back. She looked at me very calmly, very directly in my eyes and said, "Are you nervous?" And I said, "Oh, yes. Yes, I am very nervous." And then she told me that one of her dear friends had just been through this whole procedure, and the doctor was her support person, taking her through it. And the doctor had discovered more or less how it felt from the patient's point of view, and said, "I had every right to be nervous." And she again went through the procedure with me and asked me if I had any questions. Well, you know me. When I'm nervous or upset, I'm going to drop back to those things that are most familiar. So I started telling them stories. The doctor found the fucking guard story hilarious. She wasn't quite as amused with the boob vice story. She didn't like the idea that one of their mammographers had been construed as being rude. She found Sadie to be delightfully amusing, and she even told me about her own puppy, who is afraid of the dark and will bark at its own shadow. Anyway, to the procedure. Once they located the masses, the next thing they needed to do was get me in a position that the breast would stay in one place. Now, boobs aren't made that way. They jiggle. They shake and wiggle all over the place. So we had to try and use gravity, and laying on my back wouldn't work because the breast then just wanted to snuggle up under my armpit. So I had to lay on my right side, leaning back, being supported by some towels wrapped up behind me, with my left arm over my head. Then the doctor took a syringe, filled it with some local anesthetic. This is pretty much the same stuff that they use whenever you have any major work done on your teeth. And she did pretty much the same thing. She shoved the needle in a little ways and put in some drug, and then moved it, put in some more drug, moved it, put in some more drug, put it in a little bit deeper, more drug, and so on. It took a little bit longer than it does for the dentist because there was a lot more area to cover. Once the breast was numb, then a small incision was made with a scalpel, and then she took what looked like a fancy ice pick with a plastic tubing over it and inserted that in my breast. Using the ultrasound, she guided it to the lump, and once it was in the right place, she removed the ice pick and left the plastic tubing in place. The next thing she did was take another instrument that looked like an ice pick, only this one had a hollow tip area, and inserted it in the tubing. This one was also a little different in that it had some dials on the back. She turned the dial, and then once she had it in place, she clicked a button, and it reverberated all the way through my body, clear up to the chin. It forced the needle into the mass about a centimeter in depth. Then she removed that instrument, took the tissue that was on in the tip of it, put it in a container, and then repeated the procedure 4 more times for that mass. Once that was done, then I had to resituate myself so that she could get to the other mass. Once everything was finished, she told me that it was one of the most enjoyable biopsies that she had ever done because most of her patients don't sit around or lay around and tell her stories through the entire thing. She told me that she was fairly sure that it was a fibrous tumor and that they wouldn't, of course, know until Thursday. I needed to come back in on Thursday and be given the results. I was rather surprised. I thought that they would just call me. And she said, oh no, we would never do that. In which I thought, oh, this is nice. I think I approve of this a little bit better. I didn't have to schedule an appointment. All I had to do was just come back on Thursday and she would give me the results. So, I went back to work. I had a lot of gauze around my breast to staunch the bleeding, and I also had an ice pack in there as well. It was kind of funny whenever the nurse was putting all the gauze around me and the ice pack and everything because I'm allergic to Band-Aids, so they couldn't just like tape everything into place. So I was trying to hold everything and put on my bra, and I looked at my bra and I said, you know, if I knew I would have to put all this extra stuff in my bra, I would have brought a bigger bra. The nurse laughed at me and said that that reminded her of the line in Jaws when they first see the shark. And one of the guys turns to the other guy and said, we need a bigger boat. I go back to work and try to get on with my day. The next morning, I got up and started getting dressed. I was anticipating that my breast would be rather tender, so I was being very careful, putting on my bra, putting the gauze and all the stuff on it, and got that all situated. And then I went to put on my shirt, and I lifted my left arm up, and I went, ah, ha, 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 ow. Obviously, my left arm was not used to being held above my head for 2 hours, and that was actually where I was more sore than anywhere else. But a couple of Tylenol and a little Bengay, and I was fine to go. Wednesday seemed to drag a lot, and I have to say a big thank you to Misty of Geek Farm Life. She started chatting with me, and we chatted for hours, and she was a wonderful distraction, because in my job, I spend an awful lot of time by myself. In general, that's good. I like being by myself. I like just having me and my computer and solving problems and fixing situations and getting on with things. But I'm not a very good distraction for myself, and I do tend to worry. So Misty getting online with me and chatting with me, I was still able to do work and be doing stuff and have her in a little window to the side. We were telling jokes and complaining about the world and fixing the universe, and it was wonderful. Thursday, I got up thinking, okay, when can I go and get the results? See, they gave me 2 times. They said 2 days, and they said 48 hours. Most people think that 48 hours and 2 days is equivalent. It's not, because a day starts in the morning, well, at 12 midnight, and 48 hours is very definite. I had the procedure in the morning, but it didn't finish until the afternoon. So did that mean that I could come in the morning and get the results, or did I need to wait till the afternoon to get the results? I called, and they suggested that I just wait until the afternoon. So I waited until the afternoon, until I couldn't wait anymore. I called Wayne, and I told him that I was on my way to pick him up. I picked him up, and we went in, and we waited. They're kind of funny there at the rec center, in a good sort of way. The women are very relaxed, and they're very outgoing, and they're really, really wonderful people. When the nurse came to get us to go back to talk to the doctor, I asked if I could bring Wayne with me. And they all kind of looked at each other, and they said, back route. Without hesitation, they said yes. Although I found out later on that it was a rather strange request, and that I had to go through the service areas of the hospital to get into the room, because the main corridors in the back area are filled with women in gowns waiting to have various procedures done. And they didn't really want to bring a man back there. We went the back route and went into the examination room. I got disrobed and waited for the doctor. The doctor came in, and the first thing she said to me was, good news, the masses are benign. They were a fibrous tumor, which is very common in women my age because our hormones are going nuts. And as soon as I go through menopause, most likely they will disappear. And I looked at her and I said, I guess that means I need to schedule menopause earlier than I originally planned. She said that she didn't know if she could recommend that or not, but it was my decision to make. She looked at the incisions. One of them isn't looking as good as we would like, so I'm having to keep gauze and antibiotic cream on it, and it's getting better. I just have to keep a really close eye on it because infection is another one of those dangers you have to be careful of. Once I was told that everything was okay, I felt 50, 60 pounds lighter. I felt like I could finally breathe and relax for the first time in months. I hadn't realized how tight my shoulders were until suddenly they just unclenched. And people tell me that there's no reason to worry, that worrying doesn't do any good. And I have to say, yeah, but I can't help it. I always, always worry. And in decision theory, they would say that there is a good reason to worry. In decision theory, the way you figure out how much energy you give to a situation, you multiply the probability times some enumeration of the consequences. Now, I could not really enumerate the consequences except to say if it had been cancerous, it would have been bad. And a probability of 1/4 is not too terribly low. So I did give a bit of energy to worrying about what would happen. I know that there are a lot of women who have gone through breast cancer. I personally know several, and all of them have said it was an experience that they would not wish upon anyone else. It's not exactly a life-threatening disease as much anymore as it used to be, but there are still women who die of breast cancer. And going through the treatment is not a pleasant thing. I thought about various things, such as did I have enough time off saved to get me through if I had to have surgery? And the answer was yes, so that was a relief. The next question was, is would Wayne be a good caregiver? In which I said, ooh, I'm not sure, because as much as I love him, Wayne's not one of those guys that will jump up and give you a hand. For example, a few weeks ago, I stubbed my toe and fell down the stairs, and I cracked my toenail down the middle, and it was bleeding, and I popped back the other one, and I was laying at the foot of the stairs going, ow! In which Wayne yelled back, what? Do you need me or something? In which I got up and said, ow! And I walked in and I showed him, and he said, oh, that must have hurt. So, not necessarily one of those guys that will jump up and try and soothe all my pain and agony, but at the same time, there are moments in which he has done just that. A few weeks ago, when I had food poisoning and I was puking my guts out, he showed up at the bathroom door with a bottle of flavored water and a wet cloth to lay across my neck, and he laid that across my neck, and he opened the bottle of water for me, and he said, call me if you need anything else. And he left. Which I guess is the best thing, because I'm not sure I want to stick around and watch someone puking their guts out. But Wayne does know me better than anyone else. In fact, in some ways, he knows me better than myself. I'm going to share a little secret with you. This may come as a shock, and you may never want to listen to me again, but I don't like chocolate. I am one of those few people in the world that doesn't like chocolate. I only want chocolate or crave chocolate during the times in which I'm very stressed or right before my period. And I don't know why. It's just those are the only times in which I will want chocolate. Otherwise, I don't like it. I don't care for it. Don't want it. No, thank you. Soon after Wayne and I started dating, I noticed that when I needed chocolate, chocolate was there. When I didn't need chocolate, there was no chocolate in the house. So it wasn't like he was buying chocolate for himself and then I was just finding it. But when I needed chocolate, and it was always the chocolate I liked, when I needed it, it was there. For example, I love frozen Snicker bars. And these little snack Snicker bars would appear in the freezer when I needed them. And I never, ever put them in the freezer. And one day I said, "How do you know?" And he says, "You tell me." And I said, "What do you mean I tell you?" He said, "You wake up one morning and you say, 'Oh God, my throat hurts. And oh, my back hurts. And I know that you need chocolate then. So I go out and I get you chocolate.'" Who could not love a man who knows them that well? So I figured, yes, Wayne would take care of me if he needed to. And so I have a favor to ask of you. Wayne bought me a Wii, and he really, really, really wants to have a Mii parade. He has gotten so obsessed with Miis. He's gone in and he's made all kinds of Miis. He's made a Bert and an Ernie Mii. He's made alien Miis. So he wants to share his Miis with you. If you have a Wii, please come by the website. He's put up some instructions that he's gotten from someone else on how to connect the Wiis together. Send us your code. We'll put you in our list and we'll have a Wii parade. When you come by the website, I would love for you to leave me a comment. And the website is autumnbreezedesigns.com. Of course, you can send me an email instead. My email is Carrie, and that's Carry, autumnbreeze@gmail.com. My voicemail number is 206-666-5775. Corey, if you're listening, please resend me your comment on Why Not Marry. For some reason, it got put in the spam folder. I marked it as de-spam, but then I pushed the wrong button. I ended up deleting it. I thought it was a wonderful comment, and I would like to have it as part of the discussion. You had made some wonderful points. So please, Corey, resend me your comment. As always, thank you guys for taking time out to listen to me. Have a great day. Bye.